Let's pray, and then let's sing. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us, that you would work on each one of our hearts and minds, that you would open our understanding, that you would improve our memories, that you would, Lord, take and use this time to shape and mold us. Pray you too for brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever in the world they might be, that your will would be done in all of our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to, as you said to Paul, to kick against the pricks, to dig our heels in, to be stubborn and obstreperous, but, Lord, to acquiesce to your leadership and to your guidance. You've done so much for us. I know you're not going to stop, Lord. You are the author and finisher of our salvation. I pray, Father, please, that we can be your good sons and good daughters. Would you please put your good hand upon Monica and Pat and Steve and Esther and Ling and Frank, for Colin and Charlotte, for Leonard, for Christine, for Mary Ann, for parents, for spouses, for children, those that need you, Lord, and need to be saved, for David King and his family. Lord, there's just so many needs. I pray especially for the likes of Boris Johnson. I know, Lord, you might have given over to a reprobate mind, but I pray, Lord, please, that you would prick his conscience at least one more time. And all the leaders of all the countries, Lord, direct them, I pray, to the foot of the cross. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you for all that you've done for us, for all that you've given to us and continue to give to us. And I pray that you would bless this time in your presence. Amen. 372, we'll start with that one this evening. Let the lower lights be burned.
Thank you. Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Tislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace of Hananiah, one of my brethren, came he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, the keeper of covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the othermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee that now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Amen.
Of those verses in Nehemiah, as I'm sure you've probably realized over the years, referred to them many, many times when it comes to the prophetic return of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem to be hailed as Messiah one day. and put to death as worse than a thief and a robber. Not too many days after that, but that was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel. I just love that portion of God's word. Right, any prayer requests over and above what we had this morning? No. That will work for me. Don't forget all the prayer requests of this morning. There's Steve's grandkids, Holly, Emily, and Henry. Henry's only about 1 and a bit years old. They all have COVID, which means the rest of the house probably has it too. Pat and Steve really live for their grandkids. Please do pray for them. They'll miss them. Please do pray for Steve. Steve is not well. Please pray for him. I know Christy's granny's not 100% either, but please pray for Steve at this time. Pray for Esther. We miss Colin and Charlotte. Charlotte's traveling. Colin got caught for work. It's Chinese New Year. Sending a text. I think it's Xin Yan Hao. It's Happy New Year in Mandarin. But don't forget to drop her a line. Wish her a Happy New Year. I know it's a big thing here whenever for our own country. Don't forget the line. Do continue to pray for Norman's legal things. I would appreciate prayer for Monica. Monica's mom as well. She's 80 now. And ever since she fell and had that compound fracture in her leg, her health has taken a dip for the worse. So we appreciate your prayers for Monica's mom, Pat. She can't even make it out to church. It's a bit like Steve at the moment, and it's only in the very best of days that she can make it out to church. So we appreciate your prayers there as well. My dad's doing great. I appreciate any of your prayers. He came through his second cataract surgery. And he's a bit like the intro to, does anyone remember the $6 million man? Stronger, faster, better than before. So his eyes are great. His eyes are probably the best in the house right now. He doesn't need glasses to read anymore. They would make things a little bit better if he had reading glasses. You know the ones that Norman talks about that you get for a fiver and a pound in the pound store. It just give you a little bit of magnification. I told him, instead of spending £200 in the opticians, go and get ones for a fiver and see if that does the job for you. But they did a good job. And he's fine. I appreciate your prayers. He has gotten 2 or 3 of the COVID injections. So either he's got the good ones or his immune system is so good and he's so fit and healthy that he has avoided any complications with it, but I would appreciate your prayers. Please pray for my brother Trevor and his family. And I think that's about that. I'm still recovering. My nose and whatnot's drying out, or my throat was strained when I had that thing, that head cold there, about a week and a half ago. So if you hear me losing my voice whenever we hit high notes, that's the reason why. I'd appreciate your prayers for that too. I'd like to get down and see Steve. I'd like to get out and see Esther. There's a few other people that I would really need to go and visit, but I don't want to carry anything to them. So please do remember that. Get an opportunity, ring Steve, give him a wee visit. I tell you for free, it's a long day when you're sitting and looking at the same four walls. I know Norman felt it when he was in getting the hip done. I felt it whenever I was in hospital for a fortnight. It's a long day looking at the same four walls. Would you go back?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Norman had a wonderful time, but he wasn't in the country. He was in Lithuania. So it is a long day when you're stuck in and not well. Please pray for Steve. He's been like that for how long now? Months. And even in the time up to that, so please do pray for him. And Christy and Esther too. Can't think of anything else. Our country definitely needs a lot of prayer. And look around you, see everyone that's here. If you're not praying for the folks that are here, don't come with the excuse there were so many people that I couldn't remember who was here. Pray for the folks in the church. There's times that wake up in the middle of the night, you don't know whether you're coming or going, stupid thoughts, stupid dreams, that's the time to pray for someone. Just if you don't know why you're awake and you can't sleep, pray for people. If you don't know what to pray for the aged at the front of the church. That's me. Pray for Stan. Pray for yourselves, your family. Just pray. Even talk to God and say, God, I don't know why I'm awake right now, but I want to chat. I just want to sit beside you for a while. Just pray. It says, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, people that are walking and talking with God, God listens to their prayers. Make sure that you are. Can't think of anything else. Is there anything else? There's work to be starting in the church. We were supposed to be starting tomorrow or Tuesday, but that's not going to happen now. So give us another week or two on that. I'm speaking to Norman now. I'm not speaking to the Lord. But please do pray about that. The stuff's all sitting out the back. All that it's going to take is a bit of organizing and a couple of fit people to do it. So we appreciate your prayers there too. Can't think of anything else. Yes, one other thing. Received a note in from, I don't know if you've noticed the Northern Ireland Environment Agency vans that would be up and down. Has anybody noticed them? You might have noticed them going up and down the road. We received a letter, a note in through the door to do with city industrial waste and all the stuff that it did. I don't know what it's about, but we'd appreciate your thoughts and prayers in that too. Things are moving ahead with the finalisation of the purchasing of the land, and things are moving ahead with the building of the road. And all I can say is interesting times are ahead. But stay on the book, stay on your knees, and you'll not go too far wrong. Old pastor used to say it, it's hard to fall when you're on your hands and knees. So don't forget that. Right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will sing another song or two. Heavenly Father, just thank you again, Lord, for all of these things. There literally is so much to pray about, and I pray, Lord, and just we leave all of these things at your feet and pray that you would work in people's hearts and minds, that you would touch those that are sick and lift them up, that you would just put your good hand upon us, Lord, and keep us from getting sick or help us through it, especially for Monica, for Esther, for Pat and Steve, for Monica's mom, Pat, as well, for Holly and Emily, and we, Henry, Lord. We pray for these guys, for the children as well. Just so much for our leaders, for those that are enforcing policy, security forces, for doctors and nurses, Lord, for hospitals, for shops, just for the whole country, Lord. I pray you, please. Lord, wouldn't it be great to be able to be an example again to the rest of the world, like we used to be 150, 200 years ago, sending missionaries out to the far corners of the world and pointing people to the foot of the cross. Wouldn't it be great to be an example to the world of doing it right? Constrain those, Lord, that have good in their hearts and minds to do good, and restrain those, Lord, that have doublement on their minds and have their hearts set in doing badness. Just hold them back, Lord, at every turn. We know that evil is literally everywhere, but we also know, Lord, that these are not the years of the tribulation. You're still here. The Holy Spirit is still working on people's hearts and minds. And Lord, we know that miracles are still the order of the day. Please work them, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Please be with the King family, with Brother Stan and the folks in Bangor, with Taylor, Lord, over in the States. Pray, Lord, for safe travels and uneventful passing through border security, Lord, on Friday and Saturday. We pray most importantly, Father, for your will to be done. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, let's sing another song. Number 55. I'll do my favorite next. Number 55, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll glorious morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called of yonder, I'll be there. When the
promises. 364 in the big books. If you can find it in the wee books, we'll sing that one too. But 364 in the big books, standing on the promises.
Standing on the promises of God, standing on.
much. We'll put our hymn books away and take our Bibles and turn to Luke 11 this evening. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I want to speak for a little while on the subject of alternatives. Luke chapter 11. Subject of alternatives. We're going to begin reading at verse number 14. We're going to read through until verse number 26. Luke chapter 11. Miss everybody that's not here and all those that have been and gone. Sadly, so many of them, most if not all, have not gone on to better things. There's a part of me that is sad whenever they go, knowing the way that they will go, but thinking, have I said or done something wrong to offend the soul? But whenever they go out into the world and things just do not go well, it confirms to me that I was right. I know that sounds very, I don't mean to say that I'm right and they're wrong, but the message that was being brought was right, and it was keeping them right all that time. And that whenever they step away, that small step away is a large and big, big step down. Don't step away from the Lord. Keep in his word. Keep on your hands and knees in prayer. It'll keep you right. He brought you this far. He will keep on going if you stay with him. I think one of the verses that we were reading this morning from one of the readings was, or was it this evening, that if you obey the Lord, he'll bless you and keep you, and otherwise he'll scatter you to the four corners of the world. It was what Will was reading this evening. It's worth remembering that. Those things still apply for God's people. It always is in our best interest to listen to what the Lord says. I take it we're all there, Luke 11, verse 14. Let's see what the Word of God has to say to us this evening. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because he said that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armour wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that scattereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Amen. Verse 20 is our text this evening. We're speaking on alternatives. Amen. Christy, if you wouldn't mind, Brother, lead us in a wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue.
Again, this day, Lord, for all your blessings, your goodness, Lord, for the privilege of prayer, Lord, for preservation of your word, Lord, this time as well. And we ask and pray, Lord, in the education of edification, Lord, of magnification of your Son, Lord, and the Lord, of healing as well, Lord. Just work in each heart and mind, we pray, be with those that couldn't be here, Lord. Just touch those that are downcast and sick, I think. Monica and Stephen and Pat, Lord, and at this time, pray and thank in advance, Lord, just before we confirm that bring them home safely, Lord, and be with them. Lord, for Stephen and Pat's grandchildren as well, to be with them, Lord, for Pat, and for touch for her, Lord, and portion of grace as well. Just save the lost, Lord, amongst their family and friends, Lord, give us that heart, Lord, always pointed towards you, Lord, and everything and every deed as well. Just guide your words or thoughts or steps, we ask.
Amen. Thank you, Christy. Amen. Our little portion of the scriptures that we begin reading with is a picture of Jesus doing what the Bible said in the Old Testament, I think way back in Isaiah 53, said he would do. Healing folks, casting out demons, taking our infirmities, etc., upon himself. And the Lord was doing that. It's interesting to note that he was doing all of the things that the scribes and the Pharisees, these very people, complained about him doing, but he was doing all the things that the Word of God said. This is a sign of the Messiah. This is what the Messiah is going to come to do. And so they, the next verse, the next thing that we read is they're saying, you're only casting them out, you're casting devils out because you are the devil. You're working for the devil. And they didn't say that because they thought he was working for the devil. They said that because he was stealing their thunder. He was taking their glory. He was showing them up to be the powerless, empty religion that Judaism had become back in the day. And he was showing them, even if they went back in the Old Testament and read up on the miracles and things that God did with his people back then, he was showing himself to be the very Son of God, the Messiah, the very man that they were, goodness, that Malachi said to expect. I am sure it was jealousy. I am sure that, as the Word of God said, the common man received Christ gladly and listened to the messages because the Jews were in a bad situation back then. They were under the heel of Rome. They were badly treated. They were beaten up regularly by soldiers. They could be forced at any time to carry a soldier's pack for 2 miles. Things were not good. And to cap it all off, even their own people were coming after them collecting taxes. So people were having a tough time. And the thing about it is, as we were reading this morning, whenever you lose everything, you cling to that which is most important. And people were starting to look for God again. And here we find, as before we get here, the Lord came back and he calls the apostles and they come and he demonstrates a little bit of his power and more come to him. And he casts out demons, he calls the fish up out of the sea, he feeds the 5,000, he turns the water into wine. All of these things were just proving that he was the Son of God. But these guys, they couldn't stick that at all. Because they knew deep down in their hearts, if the Son of God came back, I would quit. And I would just sit and listen and learn. I wouldn't worry about being the pastor anymore. I would just say, Lord, you take it. You preach. You make a difference in people's lives. I'm here, and just like everybody else, I need to hear more. I need to learn more from you. These guys weren't like that. They were going to lose a lot. Because the scribes and the Pharisees, they basically ran the country under the auspices of Herod. They ran the country. They had their own private army. They could do pretty much whatever they liked, even to putting people to death. And they didn't like being shown up. If you recall the words of Ananias and Caiaphas as they discussed what they were going to do with Jesus. And I think it was Annas said, do you not know that it's expedient that one man should die for his country? Of course, they were referring to killing the Lord. And we know that he allowed that to happen. We're going to look bad. Because he can do the things that the Old Testament would say, said that he could, and we can't. We haven't been able to raise the dead. We haven't been able to calm the storms. We haven't been able to staunch the issues of blood and to unbend people that have been bent over the years. We haven't been able to do that. But he can. But they didn't like it. They were so attracted to things and stuff, to glory and to the praise of men, to the tipping of caps in the marketplace. They couldn't let it go. And it's always important that you bear in mind why you are, where you are, if you're a God-fearing man or woman, and that you bear that in mind, and all that the Lord has done for you, and you keep that in mind. Be a God-fearing son of the King of Kings. The Lord says, look, we ought to look at this a bit logically. What is the end result of man? The end desire of man really is to get to heaven. It is to defeat Satan's kingdom in our own lives, to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to admit that we're wrong, to call out to Jesus at the foot of the cross, repenting of our sins and trust him as our Savior. That is the path of man. That's what it should be. Our natural place is to walk and talk with God just like Adam in the cool of the evening. That was the first state of man until sin entered in. And that's what God wants for us. That's what we need. And the way we'll do that is by casting demons out of people, is by getting saved and letting the Holy Spirit do that work, by staying close to the Bible as the sons of God, by being in church, by making the Bible such a part of our lives that we talk about it like we do the weather. That's the natural state of man. And I mean that, should I say, the first state of man. That should be our way. So if I'm working for the devil and I'm kicking devils out of people, I'm fighting against the devil. His house is divided. He's losing ground. If your sons are casting them out, by the way, who are they working for? He's losing ground, as in places, souls to inhabit and lives to ruin. He's losing more ground. And if God is casting out devils, I take it you're assuming that I am not the Son of God, not the Messiah, even though, as he said, hey, you look to the scriptures thinking you'll find something to back me with, but you will only find me in the scriptures, Jesus said. Regardless of what happens, Satan's kingdom is diminished. God cast out devils. I'm casting out devils. Your sons are casting out devils. Devils are being cast out. People are being set free. The devil is being beaten, regardless of what way you look at it. But why would the devil allow that to happen? Just, you know, logic. You ever heard of logic? Like 1 and 1 equals 2. And 2 and 2 equals 4. And if you keep doing stupid things are going to happen to you. If you keep sinning, you're going to suffer the consequences of sin. I'm sure they didn't like it whenever he said, who gives your sons the power to cast devils out? Are they working for the devil too? Because really what he was saying is, your sons are the product of you. And if your sons are doing it by the devil, and they're doing it the same way that I am, well then, the devil must be the rulers of your houses because you endorse them. You condone what it is that they do. You glorify them when they cast out devils. So who do they cast them out by? Anyway, people don't understand that. Especially when the Lord said, if I'm doing it by Beelzebub, Satan's kingdom's diminished. He's defeated on a front. But if I'm doing it through God, I like what he said. If I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, the kingdom of God has come upon you. And that's a sobering thought. There's a number of times whenever I was sick and recovering from the surgery and the sepsis and all the other stuff that went on, as I walked down that 300-yard lane, that nearly 2/10 of a mile lane, and every yard is important whenever you have to work hard to put one foot in front of the other, I literally felt God's finger on me. I felt that bad. The alternative is, hold on a wee second, if this isn't the devil and we're opposing him, if this is God Almighty, we're found to be fighting against God. We're rejecting all of the tenets of the Bible, the commandments, the doctrines, the statutes that God has set down. We are actually setting ourselves against that. We are wrong and we're fighting against God, who cannot lie, as we said this morning, and whom is no shadow of turning. But you see, A lot of people don't want to admit that they're wrong. They would have to admit that all of the decisions they've made in their lives up to this point, their spiritual decisions, are wrong. And whenever you've spent time and money and put in effort to confirming your decisions in your lives, and they're wrong, it's very, very hard to go back on. It's very hard to say, look, I made a mistake. It is one of the greatest abilities you will ever acquire, is to be able to say, hold on a second, I made a mistake. It saved me a job at about £25,000 about 30 years ago, whenever I made a mistake with an order for Marks and Spencer's. And that was a small, very, very small part of the order. That was like 1% of the order. And I made a mistake. And they said to me, Mark, did you put that order through? I said, let me check and see. Came back and said, nope, I didn't. He said, we're on a 3-week window. Get those orders processed and get them out the door. And it was done within half an hour. I had to say I made a mistake. Because if I had said no, and someone else had gone in and found it, my neck would have been on the block and I would have lost my job. It's a great skill to acquire, is to be able to look at yourself objectively and say, I think I'm wrong here. A lot of people's pride won't let them do it. And that alternative, friends, is an alternative that a lot of people don't want to contemplate. People, even in churches today, don't want to consider the alternative that there is a God who is active in this world right now, who is looking for people to say they're wrong and they're so sorry they're prepared to change. It's not something that people even in churches want to consider. Now, I want to tell you, that good old book, King James Bible, it's not shrouded in mystery. Anyone can open it and read it. I know it's shrouded to a certain extent from unbelievers, because without the point of view of a saved soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven, some of the things don't really make sense. But whenever you're reading it from the point of view of a soul that's saved, of someone that's trusting in Jesus Christ, then that's a whole different kettle of fish. But anyone can read it. And people who are lost can read the prophecies. We were reading in Nehemiah this evening. Will was reading in Nehemiah. And that was the starter epistle on the 483-year period from the next chapter to when Christ rode in to Jerusalem on the back of a donkey to be hailed as Messiah, Palm Sunday. That's cool. I love that. You can read about the restoration of Israel. And that happened only 75 years ago. Prophesied many times. Anyone can read that. We can read about computer-generated images in the book of Revelation. Anyone can read about that. We can read about the weapons of warfare being sufficient to wipe out all flesh. That's in the Bible in Matthew 24 and I think in Mark 12 or Mark 13. We can read those. Anyone can read those things. We can read about the Word of God encompassing the whole world, and in every country in the world there are copies of the Word of God. Goodness, you can go onto the internet and have one on your phone in a minute. Anybody can. These things are in the Bible, and they're there for people to read and to understand. But hold on a wee second. How can a book that was finished 2,000 years ago have things in it that only happened like 75 years ago, that only happened 10 or 15 years ago, that are happening right now? And have to confess with your hand and your heart that it's not a coincidence. We'd love to think it was a coincidence. I'd love to think it was just luck or happenstance, all the same words for coincidence. That touching wood, or the ancestors made it happen, or whatever. But When all of those things keep happening, the alternative is that it's not a work of fiction done by very clever men, but it's the actual Word of God preserved for us in spite of its many detractors and haters, so that we can read it and understand that there is a God in heaven that loves us so much that he gave his Son Jesus Christ to give us life on the cross for us. And that if we don't repent of our sins and trust him as our Savior, we're going to end up in hell in the lake of fire. A lot of people say the Bible's an old book. It was finished 2,000 years ago, yes, that's right, but it has a worldwide communications network. It has advanced weaponry. It has computers. It has the mark of the beast, which a lot of people are talking about in computing circles. Not as the mark of the beast, of course, but it's the mark of the beast. And before we go too far down the line of prophecy, you know, I love prophecy. To me, it's such a confirmation of everything that's in the Bible, and it's in everybody's faces. I can't deny it. But if all of the things that people are believing now that fly in the face of the Bible were good and true and right, if the teachings of the Jehovah's Witness, the Roman Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Muslims, the pagans, if all these things were actually true and good and proper and right, this world would be a paradise. Oh, we don't want the Bible, it's the source of so much trouble. And yet, I go back 100 years to when everybody knew something about the Bible. Everybody knew the commandments. Marriages lasted longer, children were much better behaved. Churches preached the gospel and people had a bit of fear of God in their lives. It made Britain the most powerful nation that the world has ever seen. Its empire stretched right the way around the world. The sun never set on the British Empire. You rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. Nobody could touch her. Because why? Because the country was led by the Word of God, by the God of the Word of God. But no, all that we have today is societies that are given over to self-indulgence and to pleasure and to immorality. That's what we have. We have, I think we were even speaking about some young people today that if it's not happening on that little black plastic rectangle, it's not important even to doing the jobs that they're paid to do. Bible even has a good description of those people that are proud and covetous and boasters and lovers of their own selves, no natural love or affection, haters of those that are good, disobedient to mothers and fathers, even the folks in the pulpits are traitors. That's the way it is. Because people, not because the Bible is old and has passed its time, but because people have abandoned the Bible. The alternative is that all of those religions are nothing but facets of the same works-based, do-the-best-you-can religion. And if your faith is not in Bible-believing Christianity, it's not going to work. You don't have to be a genius to go to the, what do you call it, is it the National Office of Statistics or whatever it is that you call it? That's statistics for everything. The breakdowns of society, deaths in this, marriages, crime, they've got all manner of statistics. Sadly, they need more and more and more manner of statistics to keep track of all the stupid things, the wicked things that we do. If only people had explored the alternative and preserved the Word of God, enshrined it in society and made it the foundation, things would be so much better, at least in those countries that did that. The alternative to all those false doctrines, to all the what ifs, might be's, possibilities, and maybes. Have you ever noticed how many times when they're putting forward a theory, just count the number of times that the word might, possibly, possibility, maybe, and in 20 years' time. Count the number of times those appear in articles and theories. And you will know almost certainly that that person is lying or is setting people up to believe a lie. Technically, this generation, this time, we should be living in paradise if we were to believe all the things that all of these people say. But we're not. The times that we live in is probably the most dangerous times in the whole history of man. You see, even back then, in the times of the people that we're reading about, the Jews, they had a tough time and people could be killed out of hand. But at least they knew if they kept their nose clean that their life would continue. You can't know that, even going out for groceries in this day and age. Walking across the street, you can't know that. You can't be certain of that, simply because of the way people behave. The alternative to all of the nonsense that so many people in power would like to spout is, the Bible is the Word of God. Every single word in it is absolutely true. And that if we don't get familiar with it and start applying it to our lives, bad things are going to happen. And I'll tell you why. The world, the flesh, and the devil, and all the proponents of devilish doctrines, they don't encourage you to better yourself. They validate people as they wallow in their sin. They don't stick a hand out and offer to pull you up out of your sin. That's what God does. They tell you that sin is lovely. It's comfortable. It's warm. It's soothing. They validate you. They don't help you. The Bible will help you. It certainly doesn't validate sin ever. It calls sin sin. It started doing it as soon as God put his name to his word. It's been doing it ever since, and it's going to do it until the world stops spinning, until the fire comes down from heaven and consumes everything other than the camp of the saints and the holy city. We need the Word of God. A lot of people say that we are just the pinnacle of biological evolution, that we're just animals. We're very advanced animals, but we're just animals. And if you tell somebody that from morning, noon, and night, from young to old, people are going to behave like animals. And we do. Society just behaves like animals. You know what animals are like? I get a lesson on it every day. Call it cat politics or chicken politics. I have one chicken that's a lot slower than the other chickens. I think it maybe broke a toe whenever the wind was slapping the door in and out. And it got a toe caught in it and was limping everywhere and it was very slow. Do you think those chickens wait whenever I throw the food out for that other chicken to get up there before they start eating? They certainly do not. They just get in, they fill their beaks, as they say, quite literally. And if that chicken doesn't get out there, that chicken doesn't eat. It's the same with the cats. If you're not in, you can't win. Animals are not considerate of other people. They cannot take on a higher set of rules. They can't take on God's commands, but we can. And history, personal, societal, global history, has shown when we adopt what God says, things go better. The alternative is to live in an anarchist chaos. One of the reasons that people don't want to consider this alternative that Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary is that people know there's consequences for their sins. And whether they consider it or not, there are consequences. Even as a Christian, you should know there's consequences for indulging your sin nature. Now, if you don't accept him, hell in the lake of fire will be your resting place. I was going to say not resting place, your destination for the endless ages of eternity. But so much of what people believe right now is just a sticking plaster. A sticking plaster on the cancer of sin of a soul that is dying on its feet. Friends, we know what the world says. I'm sure we hear it every day on the internet, on the paper racks as you walk past them in Tesco's or Sainsbury's. On the computer, on emails, on news programs, we hear what the world has to say. That's not working. There is only one viable alternative for the here and now and for the endless ages of eternity, and that is that God, what do they say in verse 20? The kingdom of God has come upon us. This is your opportunity to shine for Christ, to see your soul saved, and to make your life worth something as you spend this time on earth. We need to choose. Even us as Christians, we need to choose whether to obey God day by day or satisfy our lusts. And you know what? The devil is more than happy, and yes, there is a very real devil. The devil is happy enough with you getting saved, as long as you don't ever do anything with your life for Christ. Or he's happy enough to say, yep, you need to get saved, and you will. And you need to serve God, and you will, but first of all, there's things that you need to do. There's things that you deserve. There's things that are due to you. So whenever you're old, then you can get saved, get right with God, but in the meantime, you just have a good time. Look, everyone else is banging their head off that wall there. Don't worry about the bloodstains. You go and do that too. Because that's what drinking is, and that's what smoking is, and that's what sleeping around is, and the thrills and spills of nature. It is quite literally killing yourself by inches. By disease, by drugs, by the establishing of bad behavior in lives. The alternative is to do it God's way. Now, I was reading in Romans chapter 8 this morning, and the verse that we started with was, for we know that all things work together for good. Is that the rain one? For all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Whenever it gets closer and closer to the time that you are saying goodbye to this world, and stepping off into the next one. People's not looking for another drink, another shot of drugs, another warm bed for a night. They start to consider seriously how they stand with God. Everybody does. Remember in a book called The Last Words of Saints and Sinners, there were some fearful sounding testimonies of heretics, and one was of a man that was in a room adjacent to another man that was dying, and he cried the whole night desperately about hearing the devil coming up the stairs with chains and hearing the chains clinking on the stairs, and nobody could see it. And he cried and wailed as he said, the devil's tying those chains around my feet, and there was nobody there. And then he gave an awful shout as he said, the devil is pulling me down to hell, and he died. And that scared the wits out of the man in the other room, and he went and got right with God. You see, there is an alternative. People need to know about it, because how many people that do we meet every day that don't know that you need to get saved, and don't know that there is a better life to be lived, that there is a powerful life, a life that is free from all of the... Do you ever see those old Errol Flynn movies or Pirates of the Caribbean where the two pirate ships are coming alongside and the pirates swing over on the ropes? That's what sin wants to do to folks, but that's what we have to do to folks, to draw near to them and draw them and tell them about the great things that God has done for you and will do for them. And one more alternative I'd like to mention. In Revelation chapter 20, there's a wee bit of the Bible that's to do with the great white throne of judgment. And it talks about, John said, he saw the dead, small and great, stand before him in the great white throne of judgment. And the books were opened, and you know, the other book was opened, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible goes, finishes off with, and whoever's name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a lot of people standing before that great white throne of judgment in that chapter that wish someone had given them an alternative. And whether they had to back it up with words, there's no better words than the ones that's in the Bible that they've committed to their hearts, or deeds, being a Christian, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. That's an alternative that those people need to be given. One of the things that people involved in the LGBT movement hate is people that have come out of the LGBT movement. Because do you know what it shows? An alternative. It's the same with Islam. I hate people getting saved. Because do you know what it shows? An alternative. A better alternative. But whether they're in the LGBT movement, whether they're mucked up in Islam or some of the other alphabet soup of religions that's out there, if they're not saved, people need to hear about that alternative. And the only person God will be able to use for some of those folks is you and me. Don't be backwards. Someday some of those folks at the great white throne will either be pointing up at you and saying, "You never told me." Or they'll be saying, "Thank you for telling me. I wish I had taken the alternative." Give people a chance, folks. Give them a chance. With all the stuff that's going on now, people, I am sure, feel like they're herded like sheep by a sheepdog. With the media, with the health service, with all of these down dead ends left. And there's nothing. People need to know. Give them a chance. Amen. Stop them there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Anybody got a suggestion for a closing hymn, and we'll sing that? Anybody got a suggestion?
Well, 381, Fight Good Fight.
Sure. 381. All right, let's stand as we sing Fight the Good Fight. Sounds a bit rough out there this evening again then.
Hold on, my bandage.
you very much. God bless you. Safe travels. Well, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting if you would, brother, please?
Dear Father, thank you, message for the life, Lord. We have some problems, Lord, but Frank is he's come back, Lord. Give him safe journey, Lord. Bless him and keep him, Lord. We bring him last next month time as well, Lord. We have Matilda as well, Lord. She's in the States, Lord. Not for any trouble, keep him on the paperwork, Lord. And bring her safe and securely back to us as well, Lord. We have some problems as well, Lord. Remember Steve and Pat, Lord. Remember Steve is in jail, Lord. You may ease it, Lord. Heal, Lord. And take away any pain or any suffering or any discomfort, Lord. Help him and keep him safe as well, Lord. Professor as well, Lord. Not for any trouble, Lord. Heal her mightily and powerfully as well, Lord. Pray for our world, Lord, and stop aggression, Lord, for the Russians from attacking the Ukraine, Lord. And Lord, save the Ukrainians, Lord, and the Russians, Lord. And we lift it to you also, Lord. Pray for the organization that we support, Lord, and Lord, provide us with information with the release of the National Open Doors, Kids for Schools, and Christian Institute. Bless them and keep them, Lord, the true life of them, Lord. And Lord, use them to magnify the great and holy name and especially the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us this day, Lord, as we start a new week. Deliver us and keep us, Lord, and guide us as well, protect us and keep us as we go. To our work, Lord. I pray for the people in the storm tonight, Lord, to stop any people from dying, Lord, whether fallen trees or anything else, Lord, and give us genuine mercies, both us and Lord, to other people that are returning from churches throughout the land, throughout the world, Lord. See us all, mighty, and Lord, magnify the great holy name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Gents, we are dismissed. God bless you.